for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. By listening to your heart speak daily, you will be able to align your thinking, your feeling, and your doing with your spirit. It is by letting your heart matter that you will be able to live from the inside out. On our website, you can sign up for the Heart Energy of the Week to be sent to you, and your email will arrive on Saturday morning. The heart energy for this week is nurturing, and with each heart energy, there's a little saying that will help you to start thinking. This one this week says, nurturing brings awareness to what is special. You know, when I think of nurturing, probably the thing that brings out nurturing most in me, that activates that energy in my heart the most, is babies. Mm-hmm. I adore babies. And so that's when I knew what the energy was. My thinking went to babies and remembering when I had babies. And of course, the nurturing that everything that I nurture, everything around a baby brings nurturing to me. It doesn't feel like a burden or anything that I have to take care of. It feels like it's all an act of nurturing. So I'm sure that that totally was where I went into the right brain. And because I was thinking, okay, babies, babies, babies. And so then when I got quiet, on my right brain, it was like this moving picture of taking care of a baby, because I had been thinking about it. It's the first thing that always comes to my mind. And I was just thinking, well, you know, when a baby's crying, and I saw myself taking care of this baby and feeling the energies that were being pulled from me to bring nurturing to the baby. And when it cries, it usually in the middle of the night needs, it's hungry, but it needs its diaper changed. It's mm-hmm. wet, it's uncomfortable. And all of that physical care then, the crying sort of calls to you, I need care, because it can't ask for it. And then, you know, you get to express that all the way through. But as we've said, nurturing is a heart energy. It's not just taking care of the baby. It's an opportunity to bring that energy of nurturing in a partnership mm-hmm. with other heart energies. And the one, when it's crying, feels like care. And then again, you know, when it needs a bath, it feels like care. Feeding it, yes, that may be its nourishment, but it feels like you're caring for it. So the nurturing that gets activated in me is partnering very closely with care with babies. So obviously that's a big piece of my nurturing energy. But as we talk about these heart energies on the show, what you're going to discover is that with each particular heart energy, and it could be kindness, compassion, commitment, loyalty, we go on and on, you're going to usually have a partnering of one or two other heart energies that come along with it. Care seems to be a big one that fits with my nurturing. What did you come up with, Russell?
Well, our sharing may be remarkably similar today, because babies also draw a big piece of nurturing from me. Babies and food are the two big areas of nurturing, although strangely not baby food. Putting the two together doesn't result in super nurturing. In fact, I once tasted baby food just to see what it was I was feeding my child. It's nasty. But I also, in my meditation, got a picture of taking care of a baby. My own two girls, when they were born, was a big experience of nurturing for me. Any of you that have had a baby, you know that, you know, when you wash them in maybe just a little basin or something at first, but then later in the tub, they are not passive participants in the process. There's a lot of squirming, and invariably you're afraid the child's going to drown in the bathtub. And if you know, we had a little bath chair for a while, and they would try their best to wriggle out of that. And sometimes there's a temper tantrum, and the baby's mouth is open and very close to the water. And so it was a big experience for me of my piece of nurturing, which has a tremendous amount of strength, but also gentleness. It was quite a juxtaposition to be holding this baby in a death grip, because you're afraid, if I get soapy hands and the child slips under the water, that could be it. But at the same time, it's a baby, and you want to be extremely gentle and not squeeze it, and not rub too hard when you're soaping their little back and all that. So it was this weird strength and gentleness piece at the same time that really gave me a flavor for what my nurturing was like. And we talk about heart qualities not being universal, but having specific flavors for every person. And that what you and I reveal on this show may be different than what somebody else experiences in their life and their meditation. But that was the first time I really got a sense of what went into my particular piece of a certain heart quality.
Mm-hmm.
And juxtaposing that with my wife and seeing that she was also having a lot of nurturing drawn from her around the babies, but that her flavors were different. Her nurturing was more about care and flow, whereas mine was strength and gentleness. And to see that we were both talking about the same quality, and we were both supplying obvious nurturing to the children, but from totally different flavors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like we did have very similar pictures. But, I think that we need to bring out on this show, I don't know how long we'll talk about it, but I think we really need to talk about how, it's so easy with babies, because they're just helpless little things that aren't saying, manipulating us into caretaking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They have real needs. And I think when a person has a real need, that it brings out the nurturing in us. But most people, what they have are not real needs. They are needs that they just want somebody to take care of so that they'll feel that somebody cares about them, because,
mm-hmm.
well, anyway, for me, because I have a lot of care in my nurturing. They want
right.
me to care about them. I remember I had a student one time that for years I have worked for 3 months, then I take a month off and prepare for the next trimester. And she missed my nurturing,
mm-hmm.
because I bring a lot of nurturing to my teaching, and I bring a lot of nurturing to my sessions and my interactions. And she missed that on the month off, so she would always hurt herself in some way so that I would come and bring nurturing to
mm-hmm.
her,
mm-hmm.
and because there's so much care in my nurturing. Which that really didn't activate nurturing. That's what she was trying to do, but because
right.
it was a manipulation, I might come and pay attention to what, move the pain and energy out of her wound, so that she wouldn't get worse, but it wouldn't come from a nurturing place. It might come from a support sometimes, but sometimes I would just I got where I refused to do it because it was just a manipulation and there wasn't anything real in it. So, as we get older, we have received that nurturing as a baby and as a child, that we want it to come in the same way, and we don't know how to resonate nurturing to get it. We think we have to manipulate to get it and be helpless like the baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that once again, we're going to be very similar today, because that was the next point that came to me. When I was in massage school, you have to do X number of hours of free massage on people to, write in your logbook that you've accomplished your, I guess they call it an internship or whatever, but you have to prove that you've done so much work. And there was a lady that came to the massage school a lot to do the free clinics that they put on. She was a bargain hunter and loved to come to those things. And I got to know her there and then started working on her outside of that clinic to get my hours in. And she was one of those people. She was not all that mentally stable and had associated nurturing with love and was very overweight and got sort of a pseudo love piece from having people do massage on her. It was like she was a very needy person. It wasn't coming for the health of it, wasn't coming to
for the release of it or
to, you know, work on her issues or anything. She just wanted people to go through the motions of nurturing her because that made her feel loved. And so I worked on her as a student, and then after I graduated and started my own business, she would come to see me a little bit, but would never pay my fee. You know, would always, oh well, I can't really afford it. You know, can you work with me on a sliding scale and all that? And she had been very loyal to me while I was trying to get my degree, and I had appreciated that she had been there so that I could get those hours in. And I tried to work with her for a while, but after a while it became very apparent that I was not nurturing. I was feeding a big needy hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and eventually I had to tell her, I can't work with you anymore. And of course she had a big blow up about that, but it was an object lesson for me that real nurturing doesn't exist when you are trying to feed somebody's neediness.
Right. And people can get really good at that kind of manipulation. Another problem that gets in the way of real nurturing is that we have a picture of what nurturing should look like. And, you know, I've done a lot of counseling with couples and wrote a book about relationship, the Soulmate or Cellmate book, which I highly recommend if you're in a relationship and you're having trouble with knowing how to nurture or how to have nurturing, because that addresses that in that book. So the Soulmate or Cellmate book would be a good reference.
Mm-hmm.
But in counseling with lots of couples, they all want nurturing in their relationship.
Sure, yeah.
But their pictures are so different. And I myself have had to deal with that because, you know, some people, their picture is, well, you're going to listen to all my crying and my moaning and emotional upset, and you're going to hold me and comfort me. And that's their picture of nurturing. Not that that couldn't be nurturing.
Right.
But if that's their picture, or some people, you know, I want you to rub my back. I want you to rub my feet. I want you to give me hugs. That's a picture of nurturing, that physical nurturing. Now, if you're wanting the emotional and somebody's rubbing your feet and you're just wanting them to hold you because and let you cry, somehow those pictures don't really match. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean nurturing's not being brought, but if your picture is in the way, then there's a real block. And, you know, some people just want you to listen to them and have dialogue with them and talk with them about what's happened during your day and what make plans and do visions and visionary stuff with you. I have a lot of that. But if you've got somebody that doesn't have that picture of nurturing, it gets in the way of receiving what they really do have. So you may block it even if you're not manipulating to get it, but just have a picture of what it should look like. So then we need to define, Russ, what is nurturing then?
Well, once again, very similar thinking around this. As I said, babies and food are the two big things that pulled nurturing out of me. And one of the biggest places where I ran into that idea that you're talking about, that nurturing is easy to get attached to a certain form,
uh-huh,
was around food. about, I don't know, 10 years ago, we made some major diet changes in our family. Started doing food combining where we don't eat proteins and starches together. And, you know, that's pretty much all your favorite dishes there, you know, pizza and hamburgers and all those kind of comfort foods that everybody likes, you know, French fries with cheese on them and all that kind of stuff is protein and carbohydrate. And it just ruins all of your favorite little treat foods. And you have to look at what real nurturing is, because if you start changing your diet, you will see how much you've attached nurturing to certain specific mm-hmm. pictures or forms. Mm-hmm. In the case of food, that would be dishes. You have your favorite dishes that feel nurturing to you. Mm-hmm. But we do that throughout our life. Anything that's nurturing to us, I guarantee you that you've pretty much got it wrapped up around a specific picture of somebody doing something for you, or a particular dish or a particular activity. And if I were to come snatch that dish or activity out of your life, you would be nearly helpless as to, well, where did my nurturing go? It's all gone. It was all wrapped up in that one specific mm-hmm. picture. So to find a real definition for nurturing, aside from any particular favorite forms or pictures you have, is very difficult. Changing the food, though, really helped me get to that. And my definition of nurturing that came out of that is that nurturing is what you do or receive that really cares for who you are.
Mm-hmm. And that is the brings awareness to what is special.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It really cares for what is special in you, not what is needy in you,
mm-hmm.
but what is special. It cares about who you are. And so if you don't have a picture of nurturing, you can be flexible to see what is special and care for it in people in ways that fit them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have this one picture of nurturing, not only do you want to receive it that way, you want to give it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking about the food nurturing. My astrological sun sign is Cancer. I have lots of Cancer in my chart, and Cancers love food.
Yeah.
And they love to nurture with food. So I like to cook for people that I care about. Well,
so that's where I got it.
That's where you got it. Sorry about that. Well, it didn't take with your brother, let me tell you. So he had, he was not nurtured by food at all. I mean, if it filled his stomach, he really didn't care what it was.
Uh-huh.
And so I had fixed this really, really special treat. And for you boys, and you loved it, and, you know, you thanked me, and it was wonderful, and I tried to give it to Dave. He said, nah, I don't want any. I said, well, Dave, just try it. And he said, I said I didn't want any. And I said, Dave, you are so hard for me to love. And I thought, and he said, Mom, listen to what you're saying. And I went, oh, yes, that's terrible. I had attached that nurturing, loving, caring energy mm-hmm. to this special treat I had made for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is really sad. So that made me look at that, and I sort of gave up some of that stuff. But I didn't realize how much nurturing I had attached to giving food. I remember in the neighborhood, I made pies because I was a great pie maker. I could make a crust that was to die for. I made pies for all my neighbors every Christmas. Now, they never gave me anything, but it didn't matter. It
right.
wasn't like an exchange thing. It was that I really cared about them, and this was my expression of nurturing, not just caring for them, but nurturing, giving them something that because I felt they were special.
Uh-huh.
And usually when I made the little card that went with it, I would say, thank you for, and name what I felt was special about them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the food thing is very interesting to me, because a lot of my favorite nurturing foods, as it turns out, when I started breaking my diet down, were things that they were very rich. I liked, you know, richness, not sugary, but you know, things that were greasy and buttery and cheesy and all that kind of stuff. And I also liked heavier foods that didn't digest as quickly, that filled my stomach for a long time. If I ate something and an hour later I was hungry, it didn't feel as nurturing to me. And so a lot of the substitutions that I ended up making for things that I couldn't eat anymore didn't look anything like the original dish, but they had that same component of they stuck with me for a while and they were rich.
Uh-huh.
And
that's your dips.
So yeah, I would trade. I couldn't eat pizza anymore, so I'd have like hot chocolate or something, you know, that had that, you know, heavy creamy feel and stuck with me for a while, but it didn't look anything like the original dish. And you would think, well, how can that be just as nurturing?
Mm-hmm.
But it was all about getting to what the need behind it was, as opposed to just that picture. You know, what does your piece of nurturing really need?
Mm-hmm. Well, when Dave, your brother, called my attention to how much I had attached
mm-hmm.
nurturing to food, and I thought, okay, this is not good. This is an attachment. And it really did help me to turn loose of it, because I had gotten that from my mother too. And we just passed these things down from generation. The more we can open up our and let go of our attachments around nurturing, it becomes a real energy that can fit into any time we see what is special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it helps our awareness of what is special, because we just want to reach for it, to resonate with it, to bring care and acknowledgement to it.
That's my first baby step for today that I'm going to suggest to people. Is if you really want to get a grip on nurturing, take your favorite treat, whether that be, you know, a favorite food dish or a trip to the spa or whatever you feel is nurturing, take that out of your life for a month or so and try and find a replacement that is different but still conveys that same sense of nurturing to you.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a moment to acknowledge BountifulBuys.com. It's a place where you can go green online, reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique. BountifulBuys.com has clothes, accessories, books, and gifts that will go easy on the planet and on your wallet. So check it out. This way you can not only help yourself, but help others. BountifulBuys.com. And tell people about it when you purchase something on your Facebook. Let people know about what our sponsors have to say, about what we have to say. It's a way to spread the good news. We have an email from Gail in Charlotte, North Carolina. Nurturing for me involved nurturing my own creativity to make it grow. Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
The care that you discussed as nurturing is finding that special part within me that I can offer in some creative way in my life, my work to others, and myself. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people do need to know how to nurture themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If they nurture themselves by taking care of their neediness,
right.
That's not what Gail's talking about. She's talking about finding that special part in herself and nurturing that. And if we don't nurture that special part in ourselves, we end up being needy.
Yeah.
If we wait for somebody else to do it, and that's what I started a minute ago and didn't finish, is that we have a resonance of nurturing. When we can nurture that special part in ourselves, then that calls attention to it from others, and then we get that resonance of nurturing from them, not because we're needy, but because we have acknowledged that part of ourselves. I really appreciate that, Gail. Thank you. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I would add to that. I think that's a beautiful picture that she painted there. But I would add to that also that I got, after the big food plunge, where I changed a lot of my diet, I got to a place where I plateaued, where I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, I found a new piece of nurturing. It's not about my same favorite foods. Whew, got through that one, you know, and I just kind of left nurturing alone. I didn't think about growing my piece of nurturing anymore. And it became a little outdated, you know. I started doing a lot of synergistic community stuff now that since we moved up to North Carolina and opened this healing center and started this healing community. And my nurturing was still kind of singular. It was about me getting a treat for myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, it wasn't the same nurturing treat as before. I had become flexible, but still singular.
Yeah.
And so that eventually caught up to me a couple years ago, well, 3 years ago now. I had to have a lot of gum surgery, which for me, you know, mouth, food, you know, that's a big symbol of nurturing to me. And it was sort of a wake-up call to me to realize, oh, okay, I'm not really nurturing myself anymore by just having these little singular treats. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to be a synergistic person and think about the good of the community and what's going to help us as a mission here, then I can't do that all day publicly and then privately go home and go, here's my little piece of cake or my hot chocolate or whatever. You know, just that little singular treat wasn't providing nurturing for a synergy person anymore. And because I had failed to continue growing that piece, I, you know, had a lot of gum trouble and had to have surgery eventually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that you must constantly, as Gail says, be willing to grow whatever piece of energy we're talking about, because mm-hmm. they don't just stay the same.
Mm-hmm. And you do have to find the special part of yourself to nurture it, or you're going to really need to be needy to have everybody outside nurturing, and you won't ever get it.
Right.
Because when they feed to the empty hole, it doesn't fill you.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really like that. You know, it's interesting. Because when I think of the special part of myself right now, and it has definitely changed through the years, writing is very nurturing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I used to hate writing. Remember when I talked you into writing my first book because I was told by my guides that I should write one, and I was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a right brain person, and English was my worst subject, and there was no way. But through the years, I have written now for 30 years, and I've written books, and I've written articles after article after article, and on my month off, I'll write over 10,000 words because I do a workshop and I do classes,
mm-hmm.
and I'll write over 10,000 words in a month. So, you know, I've had to do a lot of it, and I went through the, oh, this is torture, and have finally learned how to bring my right brain and my left brain together, which we're trying to do on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really nurturing for me. I realize that it is just a special part of me that gets to express the wisdom that I want to express to others and to share with others in a way that I can reach out through the internet and places like that where I can't. It beats communication all to pieces for me.
Mm-hmm.
It is a form, but just one-on-one, it's synergistic. I love it. Now, I can get tired after sitting at a computer for a long time, and sometimes I'm not always inspired, but it is a nurturing thing for me, and who would have thought?
Right.
So, you know, for this Halloween, and we dressed up at our movie night this past Saturday night in costumes. One of my students gave me the costume of Thoth, the Egyptian god of, which is an ibis bird, of wisdom and writing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had not heard this radio show.
Right.
He didn't know that, but I felt nurtured by him just, he loaned me the costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good story. And you'll find, you know, as you break through these barriers of this is what nurturing is, and like I said, it's one of the energies that we have the most fixed pictures around, you'll find millions and millions of different possibilities of how you could nurture yourself, even in things that you used to hate. The only rule of thumb is that you have to be true to sort of your individual flavors. You know, I talked about the juxtaposition of the strength and the gentleness when I was bathing my children. I found the same thing to be true with the food. You know, when I changed my diet, I tried to do it, sort of back into it. I'll eat strictly according to these new rules Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Monday through Friday, and then on the weekends I'll just eat whatever I want. There, that gives me a little freedom. Yeah, okay, I can do this now. And I did that for about a month, and I started being really sick on the weekends when I ate, you know, the wrong way, and I realized, okay, that's not doing it. It has to be strong and bold, just like I am with the children, but it also has to be gentle. I've got to find some new way to bring that gentleness other than just kind of bending the rules, because that's not being true to the strength part of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I had to find other ways to bring that gentleness in there and ease myself into it without just bending the rules, because that violated that other flavor of mine, the strength part. You've got to be true to all your flavors in that particular energy, but if you're doing that, then the form doesn't matter. You'll find millions of forms, that maybe even ones that you hated before.
Mm-hmm. Right. Not just the feel goods, but mm-hmm. the ones that, like mine, have to have care.
Yeah.
I want to acknowledge that our growth resources. I mentioned Soulmate or Cellmate as a book, and we try to also mention a CD, which if you just want a short version of something to support you in an energy, or a workshop. Energetic Parenting is mm-hmm. a CD that will help you to discover those parent and discover, okay, what is special in me? And take out all the needy parts and separate the two into two different parts.
Yeah.
And we have an email that fits right with that from Andy in Waynesville, North Carolina. Andy says, some Native Americans put the concept of good versus evil into this framework. Good and evil are two hungry wolves inside each of us. Whichever one you nurture is the one which will win the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Excellent quote, Andy.
Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Andy.
Andy's a friend from high school, I believe.
Is he?
Mm-hmm, if it's the same guy.
Well, that's a wonderful quote. And the energetic parenting addresses that. It mm-hmm. helps you to nurture the good wolf.
Yeah.
So check out Energetic Parenting. And if you prefer a book, Soulmate or Cellmate. But if you like to just listen in your car to a CD, Energetic Parenting would be an excellent choice. Check it out on the JackieWoods.org. We have another email from Diane in New York, New York. I read your quote with today's energy, but it's like looking at a wall. I cannot get a picture with it. Maybe my nurturing is just that small. In fact, I realize I am alarmed to see that recently, as soon as I have a negative thought about myself, I have an injury. Then I feel ashamed for trashing myself. Who wants to do that to themselves? And I get caught up in a downward spiral. How can nurturing help me not fall down into the void? Do you want to start with that, Russell? You want me to?
Yeah, I've got something to say around that. I'm trying to formulate it. My family has developed a sort of nasty little family dynamic. And like all family dynamics, everybody has to say their lines or the drama collapses. You know? My youngest daughter fights with my wife, and then my wife gets to come in and help her get through it. And this is, you know, sort of a fake way that they both nurture each other, or themselves. You know, the daughter has learned that if I fight, mommy will come and, you know, pay attention to me. And, you know, suddenly I'm a problem and she wants to help me through it. And so it feels, you know, sort of like a pseudo hug in a sick way. And the older daughter, of course, hates conflict. She's very shy, and she's just become, you know, panicky and compulsive in her activities, hand washing and changing her socks and stuff like that. My part in it, of course, is that I just try and get in there and talk sense into everybody, and when they won't listen to me, I say, well, I'm just washing my hands with all of you, you know? And it's nasty. It reinforces itself. The more we play it out, the harder it is to break loose of it. And so we've decided that for the next 4 weeks, one of us, we're going to take turns. This is my week. We'll be sleeping in the guest bedroom of Jackie's house here to sort of break up our family dynamic. And in a strange way, that feels very nurturing to me. It seems strange to think, okay, you're going to do something really radical to change your family dynamic, and that's nurturing. Nurturing would be more like, you know, let's all go out for a picnic and forget our troubles.
But it's like the food thing.
It's like the food thing. It has that strength and gentleness in it. It's taking care of what's special in each of us, nurturing that family piece that we don't want to lose, because I've seen families break apart if they can't get out of their dynamics. You know, the teenagers move away when they're 16 because they just hate the stuff that goes on in their house. But it's being strong and bold and breaking apart that pattern, but at the same time caring for and being very gentle, tender with that delicate little piece of family, which can go away if you don't nurture it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I would add to that. Just that idea that things that seem radical sometimes, things that shake up your life, can be nurturing. Mm-hmm. We always think of nurturing as soft, and it comes in and it smooths everything out. But nurturing sometimes is bold, and mm-hmm. nurturing is sometimes dislocating. You know, it shifts you out of your comfortable little status quo hellhole that you've created mm-hmm. sometimes. And you can't disregard that and think, well, that's not nurturing, because right. nurturing encompasses all of them.
You know, I will confront somebody when they're in a pattern and not being real with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is nurturing to me. I care. It's because I care, not because I can't stand them in that pattern, but because if it's somebody that's a student of mine, and I know that they're more than that. I address what's special in them rather than what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's nurturing, and so I like your point, Russell, that it's not always the soft, warm, fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think it's always soft, warm, fuzzy, it's probably because we haven't broken down and said, okay, these are the components of my energy of nurturing.
Yeah.
So to Diane, who's saying that when she has a negative thought about herself, she has an injury, I would highly recommend that she get energetic parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And remember Andy's quote, good and evil are two hungry wolves inside each of us. Whichever one you nurture is the one which will win the battle. So probably if she nurtures the good wolf more than the evil one, it will win the battle. Sometimes we pay so much attention to our problem patterns and our problem areas that we forget that we even have the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, we can focus on something by fighting it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's no good either. I mean, you're still giving energy to a problem area of your life if you're fighting it, and you could be giving that energy to a new form of nurturing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another of our sponsors is the Ottawehee Wellness Retreat, and you can find that on the internet at ottawehee.com. It's ADAWEHI, ottawehee.com. It's a place where you can get away from it all and go home healthier. The Ottawehee Wellness Retreat offers all the amenities of a bed and breakfast, plus access to a health food store, a fitness room, peaceful working trails, 10 alternative...
Walking trails.
Did I say working?
Working, yeah. You may do some work while you're walking.
I'm sorry. Walking trails and 10 alternative healers. This is a place where retreat becomes renewal. That's interesting. Well, the interesting thing about that is we just went for a walk before the show, and it was work for me because I'm really tired. This is the 19th day, and I have finally let down today. All I did was the show today. I have worked 18 days straight in a row.
Wow.
And so I felt like I needed to get the exercise to get my circulation going before the show. And so I went walking, but it was work. It was work.
And sometimes, you know, just word association, work out. Sometimes a workout is nurturing for me, and it never used to be. You know, going and getting sweaty at the gym was not something I did because I thought it was good for me. But I've recently gotten to the point where sometimes it can be very nurturing for me to get my blood flowing and really get a good workout in.
Uh-huh.
And that's another point of getting beyond what you think your picture of nurturing is, what the forms that you used to use, your favorite things, which are probably whatever your mom did for you when you were a baby. And really seeing, okay, what's my flavor of this energy, and does this activity really care for those particular pieces?
Yeah. This email's from Julie in Lake Lure. Thank you, Julie. You're a regular. We appreciate that. I've been joining you in meditation on Monday mornings for months now. Well, today I forgot the energy during my meditation. I went off to work and I brought apples to make apples. Terry writes this down. I think she meant she bought apples to make applesauce. So my young students would feel as, oh no, she brought them. So, oh, Terry, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
You should have seen the hurt look on her face.
So my young students would feel a sense of home. Julie teaches school. During the expected thunderstorms today, the classroom smelled of baking apples. Ooh, how nice. I've had some of her applesauce. It's very good. And they got to smell that all morning, and then they had to have a healthy treat later on. I guess I got the energy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like she did. I think cooking is probably the creativity she has in cooking is probably one of, she has a lot of creativity, but probably in cooking is one area of creativity, and creativity is one of her special energies. And our special energies not only bring nurturing, but they receive nurturing.
Yeah, it's amazing how that stuff sort of worms its way into your life, even when you're not thinking about it. There's a lady that's part of our community that's very big on, you know, don't squash the spider or the bug or whatever. Take it outside if you see it inside. And I always used to laugh at that because, you know, I was all about, hey, bugs in my house, bap, you're dead, bug. But recently I've loosened up on that. Maybe I'm covering her piece of that and starting to see things a little from her eyes. And so now I'll like put a piece of paper down and I say, okay, spider, if you crawl on the paper, I'll take you outside. If you resist and you run away, I'm going to smack you. And sometimes they do, and I'll take them outside. And I've started to loosen up my definition around that. Today in the workout room, I got in a workout before I came to do this show. There were three spiders that were crawling around. And I picked each one up and took it outside. And each one was progressively more resistant, you know, trying to run away, wouldn't get on the paper. And I came very close to smacking the last one. And I didn't for some reason. And I'm like, wow, you never have this much patience with these stupid bugs. What's going on? And I realized, oh, it's nurturing. I did this meditation this morning with, you know, 2,000 people or however many people listen to us and are doing this meditation at the same time. And I'm part of that synergy now, and it's wormed its way into my consciousness today. Even if I'm not specifically thinking about it, it's influencing my actions.
Mm-hmm. Like Julie's, yes. that's, we do encourage you to meditate with us. And if we can have thousands of people across the nation, which is our goal, meditating from our time is Eastern time, but 6:30 to 7 every morning, mm-hmm. we meditate. And if we're all meditating together, and when we're doing it Saturday, Sunday, and Monday on an energy together, then, you know, we are going to impact each other.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand that, that the energy doesn't have to be right there in front of you in this form that we're used to having it to receive nurturing, for instance. Sometimes I can just think of someone that has a lot of nurturing energy, and I can just feel that energy coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about baby steps, and I think we need to do that. I think we need to talk about some baby steps. I thought of, you mentioned this, but one of mine was to stop doing something you do for someone out of need.
Yeah.
That's an important baby step, because we may have a special part in us that we nurture, and we may see special parts that call our attention to someone and make us aware of their specialness. But instead of reaching out to nurture that, and to, in my instance, it's to care for that,
mm-hmm.
Those empty holes call to us, that neediness, and we get into caretaking instead of nurturing. So just stop doing something you do for someone when you know you're just doing it out of their neediness, or because you feel obligated to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I already mentioned very similar one as one of my baby steps is, you know, change one of your treats.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I should also add, according to today's events, try taking a bug outside.
Mm-hmm.
change your way of bringing care and nurturing into your home in that way.
Mm-hmm.
One other one that I do occasionally is try to connect to somebody in nurturing without bringing them a gift or doing something for them. If you see them on the street, if you're thinking about them, just imagine a heart connection with them and see if you can bring that same feeling that you have when you're, you know, brushing your cat's hair or eating a piece of chocolate or whatever that feeling of nurturing is for you. See if you can bring that feeling without the physical form.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I had identified the feeling and feel the energy you are physically bringing as one of my baby steps. So we're on the same page today, totally.
Mm-hmm.
But we do tell people constantly, just because we don't have the same pictures or the same feelings around an energy doesn't mean that it's not the same.
Right.
The picture's just bigger. I wanted to also mention, if I can find my notes here. Yes, here it is. I'm having trouble this morning. I wanted to also mention our Facebook. We have Facebook, and we have more and more people joining it,
mm-hmm.
and we have quotes on there, and we want you to respond, just like we want you to respond to us on the radio show. We want you to respond on the Facebook, because what you say there that adds to what we have said in the quote, just adding to the picture bigger and bigger, goes out to many, many, many people. And as it goes out to many people, we are spreading the word, just like when we meditate together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So please do that.
And there's a tab at the top of our Facebook page that says Be Part of the Show. And you can click on that, and it'll give you a chance to leave a quote or ask a question or something like that. So if you're not available at 3 o'clock Eastern time to call in and email us and be part of the show, you can just sort of leave something ahead of time. And mm-hmm. those, a lot of those quotes are things that we read on the air too.
Yes, yes. And you can do the archives from the Facebook or from our website. So don't forget the archives, because they're listed according to the heart energy. And we work on different lessons at different points in our life, and each lesson needs a particular heart energy to help heal it. And that healing can come from listening. And when you go back and listen, you're going to tune in to all those people that meditated at that time. Their energy goes into that show. It's not just Russell and I. We're just the ones being the mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
I have an email from Teresa in Asheville, North Carolina. Teresa's another regular. Thank you, Teresa. I've been known to get sick when I want someone to nurture me. It wasn't until I had a big accident that I was able to break this pattern. I decided I didn't need to create a brush with death to feed my neediness. Why do we need two befores to really get a lesson? Good point. Why do we need two befores to get a lesson? But it does sometimes take breaking up the patterns, like we're doing with your family. Here in this community, we have group homes where people live. Several families may live together. And periodically we move them around so that there's a difference in interactions of people, because when you have different interactions, it breaks up patterns, just like your food thing broke up patterns, just like Teresa's brush with death made her look at something. And we almost have to be forced to look at something. And unfortunately, it has to get bad sometimes before we look at it. But I truly believe that if we are focusing on nurturing the special parts of ourselves, and I love Andy's quote,
mm-hmm.
you know, knowing that always we're going to have the evil wolf and we're going to have the good wolf. But if we're focusing on the good wolf, then when the evil wolf comes up, we don't ignore it, but we have the good wolf that is stronger.
Mm-hmm. And I think this show about nurturing is so important, because nurturing is what will allow us to avoid those 2x4s. That when I didn't grow my nurturing, when I let it be singular and about giving myself a treat and taking some time for me and going off and reading a book, all those very withdrawing, singular sort of things, and had grown beyond that as a person. I was more of a community-oriented person, but a very singular nurturer. Then the distance between who I really was and how I was acting had become very great. Mm-hmm. And so I created, you know, having to have gum surgery. That's a big symbol of not nurturing yourself. Mm-hmm. It was a literal smack in the face. I mean, it was a 2x4.
Mm-hmm.
And those creations, those negative creations get so big when we let the distance between how we act and who we are become great. And if you can get this lesson on nurturing, if you can move beyond your favorite pictures, and we said nurturing is the place where you most likely get attached to a certain form or a certain picture. If you can move beyond that surface and start paying attention to who you are becoming and how that can be cared for, then you can avoid some of the 2x4s, because mm-hmm. then you're on a regular basis feeding those good parts of yourself and letting them continue to grow, so that the inside matches the outside. The clothes you wear, the activities you engage in now match who you are, and there won't be those big negative creations, because those only happen when the gap between the inside and the outside gets really great.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And I talk a lot about bringing your dharma to your karma.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something that's really been nurtured inside you, it's strong enough to parent, the energetic parenting again, to parent that bad wolf or that wounded part in yourself. We also have, some people prefer the workshops that we do, and we have a workshop called Covering.
Mm-hmm.
That's very appropriate to this subject of nurturing. And the workshops are like 5 CDs, and it's where I present material, but we also have a recording group. It's always a big workshop, but I take, you know, from 6 to 12 people, and we do a recording of the questions that are a discussion. And so you get a lot of different viewpoints and experiences.
Yeah.
So if that serves you better, then there's the covering workshop. If it's a CD, we have energetic parenting. If it's a book, we have soulmate or cellmate. We have an email from Kathy in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Usually I think of nurturing as a pink blanket surrounding me on the outside. But this morning in my meditation, I saw myself being cleaned on the inside. I could then feel nurtured by the connection to all things that were light and real. So by meditating sometimes in with the synergy of our group, like you said, you're now taking care of spiders, that patience became a piece for you and another piece of care. When we do meditate together, it begins to change our old pictures. Seeing the covering that I said in the workshop of the soft blanket and the energy covering her, it's not that that's going to go away, but she added a new piece of seeing that being clean, clearing out the bad wolf, so to speak.
Yeah. And if you meditate regularly, especially if you meditate as part of a synergistic group and you have that added power of all those other people connecting with you, it changes who you are subtly. And then you don't have those big 2x4s where who you are has become way different than your patterns, because you've been changing those patterns little bit at a time as you go along without even thinking about it. You know, you just get into that energy and you find yourself doing different things, like taking a spider outside, without thinking about it, without having to consciously say, "Ooh, I better make sure my actions catch up with my energy as it grows." But it just happens through that power of connecting to that energy regularly and feeling all the other people connected to it.
Yes.
And you don't have to work as hard.
Right. We focus on synergy a lot here,
mm-hmm,
in this community. This email's from Diane in Columbus, North Carolina. To add to the wolf concept, and as a baby step, my awareness this morning was that every energy can be nurturing simply by breathing the energy deeply in my body, receiving the gift of the moment.
Very nice.
Nice point. Very nice point. Yes, everyone can be very, very nurturing. And they may be small, but still can be nurturing, but as we realize they're special and nurture them more, they will grow. You want to add to that?
No, I just love that image that she painted there. I fully agree that any energy can be nurturing if you drink it in. A lot of energies kind of bounce off the surface, you know, water off a duck's back. Somebody will come to us and say, "Isn't it a great day?" And you'll say, "Yes, I'm very grateful for it." But you won't feel that gratitude all the way, mm-hmm, through you. And that brief acknowledgement kind of, you know, it rolls around in your head for a few minutes and then it's gone. And the rest, mm-hmm, of the day, you don't get the benefit of as if you had drunk that gratitude, mm-hmm, in and said, "Yes, if I'm going to be grateful, I'm going to do it fully. I'm going to feel this in the moment." But we just kind of sip. We take, mm-hmm, a little sip of various things throughout the day, a little awareness here, a little gratitude there. "Oh, look, somebody's being nice to me. Such kindness. Thank you."
But if we haven't nurtured it in ourselves, then we can't resonate that nurturing, no matter how special it is.
Yeah, we have to saturate ourselves with it. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the words she used. It was very, the image that came to me was just fully taking it in so that you are that energy and it can resonate with you.
And she offers it as a baby step, so that's another baby step. Mm-hmm. So we might reiterate the baby steps so that people will be sure and take action, because if you don't take action on these, it's just going to be a mental exercise. You know, in my classes, I don't allow people to take notes, and they think that's because I don't want them, I guess, just going out and teaching my stuff. That's not it at all. I just don't want them to have a mental exercise. I want them to take it in all the way down. So we've run out of time again. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. Join us next week and make sure that This week, your heart matters.